Hallelujah. Well, let's just talk a little bit. Let's share a little bit from Scripture, and then we're going to share something going into the holiday season, almost like a Christmas card, I guess. I think you'll enjoy it. Some of you have probably already seen it if you follow Dutch Sheets, but something that he had yesterday that I just thought was really, really good. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's just share some scripture here tonight. You can turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. I want to share about his name for a little bit. Exalt his name, the name of Jesus. What's in the name? What's in his name, that name? Why is it so powerful? And there's many different ways that we could approach this, and we're just touching a little tip of the iceberg tonight. But Philippians shares one aspect of the power, the authority that's in his name because of his submission and yieldedness to the Father and laying down his deity. And then laying not only his deity down, but also walking in a continual state in this life of humility. Now, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. I'll give you time to get there. Paul says this. He's writing to the church. He says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, or any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. This is ought to be who we are. Nothing for vainglory. Why do you want to do what you want to do? Well, I want to serve in the church. Wonderful. We'd love for you to serve. But is it for your glory or for his? You know, on this walk, motivation is everything. Why we do what we do. It's not just what we do, but why we do what we do. And so we're going to look and see here that in him, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Are you with me? Watching it, looking at it. Let each one esteem the other better than themselves. Hallelujah. What's your value of somebody else in this room? Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, I've been going through a whole lot of things. I know you probably have. But how much time do we spend praying for the brethren, praying for our brothers and sisters? And I think one of the things that we need to take away during this Christmas season is taking on his mind, that he was the gift that God gave us. But we ourselves ought to continue to have a lowliness of heart in the sense of the word, and how can we pray for one another? How can we endure with one another? How are going through whatever they're going through, sharing in our prayers and our thoughts and our heartfelt devotion and intercession? Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind, now everybody say, let this mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. The words, the three words, let this mind, is one word in the Greek. It's the word phroneo. That doesn't impress you at all. Doesn't impress me to even, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. But it means this, to exercise the mind. That is to entertain the sentiments or the opinion. It really means this, to make our association. And Paul is instructing us, let this mind be in you, phroneo, or make an association in your mind continually with the mind of Christ. How do I do that? Well, in what way, in what order? Because we're going to see that because of who he was and how he associated his thoughts, that it exalted him, that God exalted him. And this is how we are exalted in him, when we make an association with how he thought and how he served the Father, who being in the form of God, he was God, but he was in a diminished form in the sense that he was living in an earthen vessel. He got his body from Mary. This is what we celebrate. The Virgin Mary. She was a virgin, espoused to Joseph. He got his physical body from Mary. He was in the form, though he was God, it was a diminished form. It was in a human body. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, a lot of people say, well, even though he knew he was God, he didn't think that for him to think that I'm equal with God, that I'm robbing God. But that's not the context. The context is even something greater than that, more wonderful than that, because we look at his servant heart. We look at who he is. And this is what the actual context is. And the Amplified does a much better job in the King James. It wasn't that he thought he was robbing God. The context is, for him to become a servant, he didn't think he was being robbed. He didn't think, and the King James doesn't really bear that out real well, but this is what the Amplified says. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example of humility, who, although being essentially one with God, he was deity in the flesh. Deity came in there and God wrapped himself in flesh. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing, this is basically what the Greek says, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, God. He was God in the flesh. He did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. In other words, he didn't hang on to it and say, I've got to have this, or else for me to humble myself, I'm being robbed. The mindset here is not that he thought he was robbing God, but rather he knew, I'm not being robbed. I'm not being robbed to serve. I'm not being robbed to give my life for the church. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. And if we'll take on that mindset and say, Lord, I'm not being robbed by anything that you asked me to do. I'm not being robbed by anything that, Lord, is my call to lay down my life for the brethren, to love them, to give myself for them, to call on you, to look past wherever any of us are at and say, Lord, I'm going to continue to lay my life down for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Revival is now. Hallelujah. Come on, people. The revival is now. Wednesday night crew, revival is now. But made of himself no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a slave, for servant it says, but a slave in the Greek, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this is amazing. This is where we have to live. We have to live in this, that he became obedient unto death. And then it says the preposition, even unto the death of the cross, the second death. And what he's saying here is this, is that Jesus, every single day that he lived, gave himself over to death. Not physical death, but he gave himself over to the choice of, I've been called, I've been sent here. I know I'm deity, but I've laid that down. I won't live out of that. And I don't feel The word testifies here that he didn't feel like he had been cheated, that he had been robbed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And because of that mindset, the word tells us God has highly exalted him. But the Lord says, make your association with that. Think like that. Think like that on a continual basis. Every day, all through the day, think like that. As he was, so am I. As he is, so am I. But made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, all the way to the cross. And here's the thing, and we've said this before, I've taught on this before, but you can't make ultimate sacrifices unless you're making immediate sacrifices, day by day, choice after choice. There's a million choices that we have to make prior to revival. There's a million decisions to lay down our life, to die, to give what he's asking us to give. And whatever he comes and lays his hand on and says, I need that. Why do I need that? Well, there's more time for you to give to me in prayer, in fasting, those individual choices. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything? Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Why was his name above every other name? One, because of the humility that he chose from the very beginning, from his dissension when he came here, choosing to come, and then choosing a life of humility as he was here. Therefore, because he stooped so low, this is what the Amplified says, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him, because of his stooping so low, God has freely bestowed upon him the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Tell me there's not exaltation in humility. Hallelujah. God says, because you've humbled yourself, I'm going to exalt you. And I'm going to put power. That name is going to carry weight. It's going to carry power. Philippians 2:10 and 11 says this. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read it for you. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Every knee. All angels in heaven, everything on earth, everything under the earth, all demonic powers constrained already, contained in hell. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Because of his being yielded to the Father, he was given a name with authority above all names. Hallelujah. We speak Jesus. We speak Jesus. Will you say it with Jesus? Jesus, just that name. Hallelujah. What's in the name? Colossians 2:8 says this. Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophies and vain deceits, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Now listen to this. And we're going to share a scripture from the Old Testament in this. And this is, I don't understand this completely. I know what the word says concerning the Godhead, but you still, your brain is like, you just have to accept it. That's all you have to do. I mean, that's all you can do is just say, okay, that's the way you define yourself. It's like Candy was, I don't know if you were here Sunday, and I'm not going to go back into that, but she was talking about one of the grandkids saying, you mean he's his own father? And that, you know, I don't know if you remember that, but it has something, it's very close to that same analogy. He says, Paul said this, beware again, I'll read this, lest any man spoil you through vain or through philosophies and vain deceits, after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him, which is the head of principality and power. Now, the Amplified says this. Listen to this. For in him, the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, contained to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression to the divine nature. And you, that's you and me. Everybody say, that's me. And you are in him, made full and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled. In him, you too are filled with the Godhead. Hallelujah. It's powerful. You too are filled with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Do you know you have the Godhead in you? The fullness of the Godhead. Come on. Hallelujah. Is everybody here on Wednesday night? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And reach full stature, full spiritual stature. It's not talking about that we've fully matured spiritually. It's talking about everything of his fullness is inside of us. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Now, turn with me to Isaiah there. Let's get a little Christmassy here. This is always part of Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Because Isaiah here talks about what Paul just said in Colossians concerning Christ having the fullness of the Godhead. Hallelujah. Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, for unto us, here's the prophecy concerning Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Now he's talking about Jesus, prophesying of his coming. And his name, we start out saying, let's talk about the name. What's invested in the name? Because of humility, God highly exalted him. He laid down his life, telling us, let this continual association of thought be in us. You want exaltation? You want God to exalt you and put his power on you where you use that name, and that name is effective and it really does something when you speak it. His name shall be called. What shall his name be called? Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. This is all in his name, in the name of Jesus. The everlasting Father. I thought he was the Son, but he's his own Father. Hallelujah. In the sense of the word, the Godhead. Now there is a separation. We're not trying to say that there's a triune deity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we're saying that the fullness of the Godhead lived in him. Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. The zeal of the Lord will perform this. Hallelujah. The word wonderful, let's just look at what it says his name shall be called. Wonderful. The word wonderful here, and I'm not going to, I might not even pronounce these correctly, but it's the word pila, which means wonderful, means miracle, a marvelous thing, a marvelous thing. He will be called, not only he will be a miracle, by his virgin birth, but he will be a miracle worker. Hallelujah. Prophesying of him from the very beginning. Counselor. He'll be a counselor. Holy Spirit. One with the Holy Spirit. Yoetz, which means to advise, to consult. This is in his name. When you speak his name, there's counsel in it. There's authority of counsel in it. Thank you, Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit becomes one with that name, and the counsel of who he is in that name. Just the name of Jesus carries counsel with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody better lift their hand and just worship him just for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Mighty God, Gibor, which means a warrior. Mighty one, a giant, strong, and a valiant man. Exodus 15:3 says this, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Then it says he will be called the everlasting Father. The oneness with the Father. The everlasting, eternal Father. I won't go into the fullness on the Hebrew on that, but Prince of Peace. He'll be called in his name will be the Prince of Peace. The word Sar. A head person. A captain, a ruler, a chief, a captain, a general, a governor, a keeper, a lord, a master, a prince, and the steward. Hallelujah. He is your Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands and magnify him for a moment? We love you, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we love you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Colossians 3:15 says this, 16 and 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever, can you say whatsoever? It's kind of weak. Can you say whatsoever? Whatsoever. Hallelujah. You need to drive home awake, okay? Hallelujah. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, in his name, throughout the day, in his name, in his name, in his name, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's go even more, because we're going to watch something here in a moment I think you'll enjoy. This is our Christmas, one of our scriptures that we often read, and I'm not going to read very much of it, but in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's get that. Sorry I got you up there, but let's just stand for just a moment so you can kind of loosen up a little bit. I wanted to share this. Many of you have probably already seen it. I thought it was so good in regards to a Christmas attitude and a yieldedness to the moment that we're at in this year. Hallelujah. And again, I want to tell everybody how much we love them, how much we appreciate them, how much Candy and I appreciate your call to this ministry and you being here on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Harry's going to bring forth a video. You can be reseated. And it's not long, but we're going to watch it together. And then if you can stay around and help us for a little bit before you leave tonight, that's, if you can't, that's totally fine as well. Amen. So.
M15. The title of our post today is Live to Give, a Christmas message. Jimmy was 9 when his mom told him his little sister was sick and would die if she didn't get a blood transfusion, and that Jimmy was one of the only people in the world who had the rare blood type she needed. She asked him if he would be willing to let the doctors give his blood to his sister. Jimmy was very somber. He didn't know what was involved, but he loved his sister and agreed to give his blood. On the appointed day, Jimmy was solemn but brave when the nurse put the needle into his vein and began to drain his blood. After a few minutes of watching the bag fill, he looked scared. The nurse said, "Don't worry, it'll be over soon." The boy accepted her assurances and asked, "How much longer will it be before I die?" The nurse was shocked. "You're not going to die," she said, and then wept when she realized Jimmy thought he had to give all his blood to save his sister. What a powerful story. No greater love. The Christmas season is one of the most remarkable times of the year, a time when we celebrate Christ's birth as a human so he could give his blood and die. Unlike Jimmy, he had to give all, laying down his life for us. Because of this, Christmas is indeed a time of giving, appropriately so. As such, it's a good time for us to take inventory, making sure we maintain the proper heart toward giving and receiving. It's more blessed to give than receive. The spirit of the age can sink its claws into us at times without us even being aware that it's happening. Christmas is a great time of year for imparting to our children the spirit of giving. If done properly, they can be marked for life with God's giving heart and nature. Or, sadly, Christmas can also be a time when we teach them that the greatest thing in life is receiving. Relax. This is not a post discouraging you from giving your kids gifts at Christmas. It's simply a reminder that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Years ago, my life was marked by a man named Wayne Myers. He was, without a doubt, the person who embodied this truth more than any I've ever known. I've watched Wayne give tens of thousands of dollars away on multiple occasions and be almost giddy with excitement in doing so. Sometimes the gifts were not so large. I once saw him empty his wallet for a Bible school student while on his way to the airport. This was 40 years ago when there were no cash machines to replenish his supply. And then he then asked his wife, Martha, traveling with him, if she had any more cash on her because he wanted to give more than the amount he had on hand. That was Wayne Myers. So, some of you may be thinking, a few thousand dollars here and there is not that much for a wealthy person to give. Many do that. Perhaps so. But Wayne was not a millionaire businessman or philanthropist. He was a missionary to Mexico, who for all the years I was blessed to know him, didn't even own a home. Wayne's motto in life was, live to give. And he did. Wayne would become indignant if someone else tried to pick up the check at a restaurant. The giving nature of God oozed from every cell of his body. His generosity was so infectious that one had to budget the number of times they heard Wayne speak each year, because when listening to him, that month's budget was often blown. Of course, Wayne was full of faith and God would return the money many times over. He demonstrated this hundreds of times, thousands, I'm sure. When listening to Wayne, you found yourself believing it. What a legacy. Cece and I have tried to live by the truth that it's more blessed to give than receive, though nowhere near the level Wayne has walked in. And we've proven over and over the truth that it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. Personally, although Wayne was used to fan the flames, this mindset was born in me while serving in a food line in Guatemala after the horrendous earthquake of 1976. It killed 30,000 people in 30 seconds and left 1 million homeless. Having been there when it occurred, I stayed to participate in the relief effort. In the village of San Pedro, which was obliterated, I was serving in a soup line. People were holding broken jars, cans, cups, anything they could find in which to receive a small portion of soup. Most hadn't eaten for days. As I ladled out small portions, I was watching the soup disappear too quickly. Hoping against hope, I was scooping and watching. The last person in line was a lady holding her 3-year-old daughter. They were the only two survivors in a family of 6. As she got nearer, I could see it coming. There wouldn't be enough. Still, I hoped. The last of the soup was served just before she held out her jar. As I looked into her eyes, my heart was shattered. It was like someone punched me in the gut. And through tears, I used my broken Spanish and said, "No más. No mas, no more." At that moment, I would have given everything I owned for just one more bowl of soup. My world was wrecked. My definition of success changed. Priorities were reordered. Bank accounts were looked at differently. What had really mattered in my life was turned topsy-turvy. I began to truly understand that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Years later, Cece and I were planning a ministry trip to Mexico City, decided to take our daughters, Sarah and Hannah, ages 9 and 7 at the time. We wanted them to see how less fortunate people lived in other countries. When our host asked us what tourist activity or places we would like our girls to see, Cece surprised them. "An orphanage," she said. "I want you to take us to an orphanage." They found one 2 hours away, and our two daughters rocked and held orphaned children for an afternoon. The journey was beginning for them as well. They began learning that it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do not allow Christmas to be only about receiving. Consider taking some time this year to teach your children the joy of giving to those in need. Perhaps take them to a feeding center and allow them to serve. Or load up the family and take groceries to a family struggling financially. Set the entire family down and discuss together what you can do this year to help a less fortunate family enjoy Christmas. Sow a family gift to a missionary who's sharing Jesus with unreached people. Adopt a child through Compassion International or One Child or another worthy ministry. We give you the links if you'd like to do that. We did so years ago, and it's been a joy. There are many opportunities. Just find one, and even in your own community. Mark your children with the heart of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the incredible blessings we enjoy in America. Thank you for all you've given us through your Son, Jesus. You taught us and demonstrated that it's better to give than to receive. This Christmas season, keep us reminded of this. We pray for those who are suffering lack this Christmas. The poor, hungry, homeless. We pray that they would find their way out of poverty and loss. Give them a fresh start. Father, we pray for the families of the soldiers killed by terrorists in Syria and of those killed by the shooter at Brown University in Rhode Island. We ask for great comfort and grace to be given them at this time. We also pray for the families of Jews killed and wounded by terrorists in Australia, asking for grace and comfort. Our hearts break for these innocent people. And most of all, we pray for those who do not know Christ as Savior. Send messengers to them with the good news. Assign intercessors to pray for them. Open their eyes, lift the veil, and reveal Christ to them. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Our decree today, we declare that greed will not control us. Generosity will be our guiding standard. Amen. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Remember the reason for the season. Hey, keep praying for these families. Let's pray against the violence in our nation and around the world. This coming revival will have an effect on that. It will stop some of that. Thank you for joining me, and please do so again tomorrow. See you then.
Hallelujah. Praise God. So powerful. Please, for your sake, I hope that if you can, that you do something for somebody else, that you've sent out something, that you've looked around and said, there's so many different places, orphanages, and this is not a brag, I'm just telling you, this is what Candy and I do. We try to exercise and give to places that are, especially we love orphanages. So, hallelujah, we get an opportunity to sow to one that I know is a really good. But take this message to heart. What can I do? What can I do, Lord? What, ask the Lord, what can you do for others? Hallelujah. So vitally important, and it's like so vitally important that our children see us giving to others. That's vital. That's so vital, so that they don't think that it's all about them, but it's all about Christ living through them. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you for a wonderful evening. We love you out there. And God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday. We'll see many of you on Friday night, but we'll see the rest of you on Sunday. Amen. Blessings. Amen.